Hey, welcome to episode 96 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I am your host, Steven Stiles, and I want to start off with a very interesting discussion that's popped up out there. The fact that John Tortorella, the head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, is either got a personal preference of or is being groomed by the organization to a front office or for a front office position. I've never thought of John Tortorella in management. Maybe there's some truth to that, but I really got to wonder, is this something that is more of a pipe dream? That somehow in an interview or something, somebody's feelings got hurt, he was too direct or too harsh or too mean, came back at somebody for what he thought was just a stupid question, which he's done a lot in his career. Is it really that he wants to do this and is pursuing this, or that the organization would want to push him into a front office position? Because the reason for that question for me is John Tortorella has had a great year. He is a legitimate coach of the year candidate. He has coached a team that everybody thought was going to have a very, very rough, oh my God, I can't wait until the season's over with, response by the fans. And yet the Flyers have had a very, very good season. I mean, certainly more competitive, have won more games, and been in more games than anybody expected them to be. So my hat's off to Tortorella. I believe Tortorella is coach of the year in the NHL. And I'm sure with the outbursts that he's had, or the, you know, harsh interviews that people would say, he's so mean, I'm sure a lot of people would vote against him. That's a declaration of people not understanding real talent. And I'm not saying real talent has to be harsh or mean or perceived that way. But let's be honest about John Tortorella. He's not a touchy-feely guy. He's never been one. He never will be one. And nobody should be forced to become one. Some people are like that. Some people aren't. He knows how to get the most out of his players. He knows how to motivate people. He gets to the point. He's direct. And if somebody doesn't like that, you know, I got to go back to that old saying about TVs of the past. If you don't like it, get up and change the channel. If you don't like it, hit the channel button on your remote. Nobody's forcing anybody to watch him. But he's outstanding for the team. He's what the players exactly need, because there's so many people that want to coast. So many people that don't want to put forth effort all the time. Or, you know, well, there's some games I'm into, but I'm really not into that game. Or, you know, that opponent doesn't really interest me. No, you're a professional athlete. You play every game 60 minutes plus if you got overtime, and give 110% every game. You're getting paid for it. I mean, nobody else is making those salaries in the, you know, traditional consumer market, so to speak, other than highly paid commission outfits and positions. Way upper management might be, but you're talking players now that are making upwards of $15 million a year in some cases. Certainly a lot of players making more than $3 to $5 million a year, which I would say is above most of the everyday salary that people make at their jobs. If it's not, I must have missed out on something. If there's that many people making millions of dollars, wow, okay. But back to Tortorella. After CEO Dan Hilferty backed him 100% during the comments that everybody said, oh my God, that was an outburst, he should be punished. Really? I mean, obvious bad officiating, and he shouldn't say anything as the coach? When it was detrimental to his team and the outcome of the game, everybody thought he just should have gone with it. Interesting. That's a very interesting perspective. But with the Flyers CEO backing him 100% and obviously touting him as the perfect coach for the team, I find it hard to believe Tortorella himself or the organization wants to move him upstairs. I'm not saying it can happen, but if that happened, I would be really, really surprised. I am convinced it's much more motivated by the touchy-feely individuals out there that have somehow had their feelings hurt because of his responses in an interview. He's passionate about what he does. He excels at what he does. And yeah, I'm going to leave the tag. He's an old school style coach that there's too few of. There's too many people that just want to kind of glide along and not really be held accountable. He'll make sure his players are accountable or they won't play. It's that simple. And it doesn't matter who you are, team captain, seventh defenseman, whoever, doesn't matter. It's his way or you're not on the roster. If one gives it a moment of thought, this has a screaming resemblance to the way that people respond to and think of Bill Belichick in the NFL. Everybody wanted the drama, the story, wanted to be entertained. Belichick just wanted to talk about the game. He didn't want to talk about any of that other garbage because it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. And people react to Belichick that same way. They're like, oh, he's just mean. No, he's the coach of the team. You want to talk about football? We'll talk about football. You want to talk about drama? I'm not your guy. And Tortorella is exactly that same mold of coach. And I have nothing but admiration for those guys. Belichick is my favorite coach in the league, and the fact that he's not going to be in the league this year as a coach, I have no reason to watch the NFL at all anymore. But Tortorella, I've never been a big fan of the Philadelphia Flyers. He has made me a fan. I want to see, after the NHL incorrectly punished him with ridiculous fines and a suspension, now I want to see the Flyers upset everybody and win the cup. I want to see Bettman have to hand him the Stanley Cup. I will laugh hysteric. That would be awesome. That is called karma right there. And just like Goodell didn't want to hand that trophy when New England was down by 25 against Atlanta a couple years ago in the Super Bowl and won, now I want to see Bettman have to hand Tortorella the Stanley Cup. That would be awesome. That takes payback to an entirely new level. And while we're on the topic of coaches, can somebody explain to me the necessity that people apparently not only had, but were obsessed with? We have to know why Martin St. Louis is leaving the Montreal Canadiens for a family emergency. No, you don't. It's a personal reason. Nobody is under obligation to discuss their personal situations with anybody. And nor do they have to. Nor should they have. You don't need to know. And the thing that amazes me with these kind of things, and we've talked about this before, if you were to flip it and somebody wanted to delve into your personal life to a level of which they had no right to do and just demanded to know everything about you, the average person would be so offended and agitated at that, but yet they want to do it to other people. What's that old saying? Do one to others as you want done to you? Yeah, that applies unconditionally, without exception. Leave the guy alone. Let him take care of his family emergency, which is priority one above anything else that he does, and let him do his job. If he wants to say something, totally his choice. The fact that people think that he has to, or that they're owed an explanation, somebody needs to get hit with something hard in the head and given a reality check. Those people need to wake up. What is wrong with those people? You don't need to know. You don't deserve to know. Nobody owes you anything. Get on board, folks, with reality. And we can even apply this to a player at the same time. Apparently, as Montreal recently played the Colorado Avalanche, there's still a lot of people carrying around this just immense dislike and negativity about Jonathan Drouin. Look, I get it. I get the local language, heritage, where you're from. I understand that's a big thing in the province of Quebec. Not making fun of it, not making light of it. However, again, back to that thing I've kept saying about a reality check, Montreal does not have any proprietary position, privilege, or right over all French players that are available to be drafted or signed. At one time, it looked like, you know, back in the 70s and before, there were some arrangements, there were some policies, there were some options or advantages that Montreal had. Good for them. That's awesome. It doesn't exist anymore. Montreal traded for Jonathan Drouin. I still don't like the trade. I think Miguel Sergachev remains and will continue to be a far greater cornerstone to the Tampa Bay Lightning than Jonathan Drouin was ever going to be for the Montreal Canadiens. Several mistakes were made. First of all, Drouin is one of those players at the time, Tampa Bay even said, whether it was Yzerman or his replacement as GM, said they thought Drouin was inconsistent, didn't get up for all the games, felt like some games were more important than others, didn't give an effort equally or evenly in every game. They sent him to Syracuse to the AHL several times. His best season with Tampa was a 53-point season. Gets traded to Montreal. First mistake they make is try to make him a center. He's not a center. He's a winger. And what they should have done is put him on his off wing because he had a rifle for a shot. Would have been his greatest asset in Montreal. But in addition to trying to make him a center, because the team had no centers at that time, in addition to all the pressures that were suddenly upon him because of his heritage and he was a local kid, because of the fact that he never had consistent line mates or line mates that had the talent that could offset his, he had injuries, constantly had wrist injuries and things like that, then had some personal issues that he needed to get taken care of, so he entered the players program. It just wasn't meant to be. It wasn't going to happen. How about instead of holding on to this like grudge and thinking that, you know, you just want to see something bad happen to the guy, you wish him well. He's in Colorado. And guess what? Just like I said, when he signed with Colorado in the offseason, you want to bet he has more points than he's had in a long time in a season? Yeah, you know why? Does the name Nathan MacKinnon ring a bell? Rantney ring a bell? They're loaded. Cal McCarr, hello? They got skill. And if Drouin was still there and or was acquired right now in Montreal, I think it would be different for him right now because of the coach would have a completely different environment that he would exist within, and he would have talent around him. He could be that off-winger on the Cole Caulfield-Nick Suzuki line or play with Kirby Dach. There's talent in Montreal that hasn't been there for decades now. He was a lone wolf. He had no line mates to complement his style or type of play. Give the kid, guy, whatever you want to call him, player, a break. Wish him well in Colorado and get over it. Move on. It didn't work out. It was a bad trade. He's gone. The management that acquired him is gone. The team has moved on. The team's having much more success. The team now has a lot of talent. Great player development that they didn't have. Lots of prospects that are going to excel and are excelling that they didn't have. Times have changed. Move on. Jeff Gordon and Kent Hughes are making great moves. Everything that Kent Hughes has touched has turned to gold. Which brings me to the next interesting topic. Everybody apparently is convinced, or at least many people are, oh my God, Kent Hughes has got to acquire more top six elite talent. Has anybody looked at the roster of the Canadiens? It's going to make the 2024 draft really interesting because you already have Roy, Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský, Dach, and Newhook. They're already there. You've got a lot of other prospects coming, okay? Talented prospects, A prospects. What is it you need to acquire from somebody else? You've got it in-house, and it's going to make the 2024 draft really interesting. For anybody that likes excitement or likes variety, Montreal could do a number of different things. They could package everything to move up. They could trade everything and move out, because if what they're targeting or what they want isn't there, they can move out of the draft completely. I'm not saying all the rounds, but certainly the first round and maybe even the second round, because Montreal has a significant depth of prospects right now, which goes well beyond Laval that already boasts David Reinbacher, Logan Mailou, amongst others. You go to Boston College, you're talking Lane Hudson. You go to the OHL, you're talking about Owen Beck. You got Sean Farrell and Laval. And I'm just picking random people. There's more in each one of those levels. You got Jacob Fowler at Boston, at Hockey East. I mean, there's a lot of talent. A lot of talent. I'm getting the feeling the problem that people have is the lack of patience. You have to wait for it all to come together. And that's what people don't want to do. They don't want to wait. Unfortunately, those people don't understand. They don't matter. The organization does. And the organization that they supposedly love does it the right way or never becomes anything other than a bottom feeder and is a perennial mediocre team. That's why what those people want can't matter, and the way things have to be done is the only way to do it. That applies to everything. But apparently, there's an enormous lack of patience is from what I'm gathering. I have no idea who the Canadiens are looking at. I do know that since the 2024 prospect list has been released, players that I would be interested in, Ivan Demidov, Barkley Catton, Caden Lindstrom, Cole Iserman, those would be the players I'd be looking at. And with the Montreal Canadiens draft haul and treasure chest that they have, if you could get two of those, that's a heck of a draft right there. Once again, Jeff Gordon and Ken Hughes would clean up at another draft. But if you can't get any of that, trade out. This isn't a football podcast, but again, do a New England style thing. Trade out. Because if what you want isn't there and what you need for the organization isn't there, why just draft somebody for the heck of it? Unless you're going to draft, although Montreal doesn't need any more defense right now. And that's a really weird thing to say, because most organizations say you can't have enough defense in your roster at the NHL level or in your prospects. But Montreal has so many right now that we'll get to with some of the prospects that they got. You could draft one of them and then use them as trade bait to acquire that person that you're looking for. Like I said, Montreal's top six is pretty much set. And there's not really anybody better in the NHL right now. Again, unless you're talking about acquiring Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid. I don't even know if I'd want to acquire Mitch Marner. And I love Mitch Marner in Toronto. Mitch Marner has got a lot of injuries. He's constantly missing games here and there. He seems to have a lot of thumb issues, wrist issues. That is kind of scary, because Mitch Marner is a great offensive talent, but a highly paid talent as well. And you don't ever want those guys out of the lineup. You don't want to ever see those guys get hurt. Just like nobody would want to see Cole Caulfield. Nobody wanted to see him get hurt last year. Fortunately, he hasn't this year. Knock on wood. Nobody wants to see Suzuki, Doc. Doc got injured at game two this year. You know how much the Canadians have missed him. Slavkovsky's had a healthy year. Nobody wants to see him get injured. So you don't want to see those players get injured. But unless you're going to obtain Draisaitl or McDavid, do it from within. I'm not saying there's no other talented players in the NHL, but there is a lot of internal talent in Montreal that's on the roster and that's heading to the roster. Now, for all those people that want to trade some of the prospects, oh, Montreal's just got too many prospects. They need to package some of them and use them for acquisition. Well, if you're going to do that, here's my list of people that you can move. And it's going to be a long list. Jesse Ylönen, Jacob Olofsson, Matthias Norlander, Rhett Pitlick, Raphael Harvey-Pinard, Luke Tuch, Jack Smith, Blake Biondi, Alexander Gordon, Oliver Kapanen, Dmytro Kostenko, Daniel Sobolev, Joe Verbetic, Adam Engstrom, Vincent Rohr, Cedric Gudin, Emmett Couture, Petteri Nurmi, Miguel Torgany, Sam Harris, Flip Erickson, Luke Mittelstadt. You want to move prospects? And here's my reason for that particular list, because people are like, how'd you even come up with that? Because those are prospects that are going to be fairly good or possibly even better that there is going to be absolutely no room for in Montreal. And at best with those players, Montreal is going to be able to hold on to them. I believe the current age in the NHL before you can go unrestricted free agency is 27. So they might be able to hold on to all those players if they get them signed under contract until 27 years old max. At which point there's still maybe no room for them on the NHL roster because of how just packed that team is with prospects in their pool. And a lot of other teams, those players would be their top prospects. Again, that's a compliment to the Montreal organization for how well they've drafted and accrued talent. Which brings me to the college program. In the United States right now, there are several players that Montreal should be taking a look at. Josh Nadeau, who plays the University of Maine, has put together a very impressive and consistent performance this year. Now, he's a freshman, so he may not be ready to walk away from the university, but that is a talent that Montreal could use. Next up, TJ Hughes. Smart enough that he played some extra seasons in the Canadian Junior League to prepare himself for the NCAA, has not looked out of place on a loaded or stacked Michigan roster at all. Then you've got Jackson Nelson at the University of Minnesota, another talent. Now, this is going to be an interesting one because this could either be a third or fourth line center, and given the fact that your first, second, and third centers are already Nick Suzuki, Kirby Dach, and Owen Beck, shortly, probably fourth line, he is a 6'4", 225-pound scary center. And I don't mean scary in the fact that he's an enforcer, he's a fighter or anything like that. He's not. He's just a big-framed kid. That if he learns how to use that size, that would be a scary fourth-line center. And there isn't a team in the league that wouldn't want him. Teams are always looking for that kind of player. Then you got Jacob Quillian from Quinnipiac. Fits the exact type of mold that Montreal is looking for. He's just under a point per game pace. He shows up and plays big in big games. He loves and feeds on pressure rather than being impacted by it negatively or some players that just don't like it. The only guy that beat him for stats this year offensively is Colin Graf. And he's available as well. So Montreal, without even the draft, just free agency, could acquire the remaining talent that people either think they need, they believe they want, to balance out their prospect pool, whatever direction somebody wants to take, And Jeff Gordon and Ken Hughes know that area of the NCAA really, really well. Now, moving on to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's a change in topics. One really has to wonder, and before I say that, I like Sheldon Keefe. I think Sheldon Keefe is a good coach. I like his style. I like the way he holds players accountable. Unfortunately, what's working against him is he likes to call players out a bit too much, and not necessarily in a way that's going to resolve the problem or be a solution to what's going on. And one has to wonder, as I begun by saying, if he's lost the locker room. I really got to wonder that, because there just seems to be a lack of the normal type of jump from players. There seems to be a disconnect between him and the players that is becoming detrimental to the team. And that's unfortunate, because I don't think he's going to get his shot to do everything that he could have as the coach of the Maple Leafs. I like the guy, but I don't think his tactics have worked really well. These are the types of things that can badly fracture a team. And you don't want to lose Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Morgan Riley, or anybody else, and be working against them or have them against you versus having them along with you. That is not going to turn out well if things don't change there at all. Toronto seems to be going through the same type of issues the Ottawa Senators are going through. This year, coaching has just not worked out. Ottawa obviously has already made a change, and Toronto, I won't say will make a change this year, but it wouldn't surprise me if both organizations, or at least one of them, make a change in the offseason. Something isn't right. There is a disconnect there, and both organizations have a lot of talent. Both organizations have ownership types that are not going to tolerate their window of opportunity not being taken advantage of. That is not going to sit well with the management or ownerships of those teams. Those teams want to win, and they want to win a cup. And I'm not a rumor starter. I'm not saying this to start rumors or everybody's like, oh, did you hear about? I think Joel Quenneville would be a fantastic coach in Toronto. Why? I think he's got the right coaching style. He has the right communication style. He's a veteran NHL coach. He's won the Stanley Cup repeatedly with a fellow original six team. With the Chicago Blackhawks, he knows how to motivate people. He's had huge stars in Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, lots of other players. He'll know how to work with Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, William Nylander, John Tavares, Morgan Riley, everybody else that I've mentioned. He will bring cohesion to that team. And again, that's not a slight on Sheldon Keefe, but unfortunately, I think Sheldon Keefe's tactics, I think, are working against him and have pretty much from the outset. It's just not the style that organization responds to. On that note, thanks for tuning in to episode 96 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I'm your host, Steven Stiles. Have an amazing upcoming week.